Proposition 106 passed overwhelmingly in our district and a solid backing statewide. So at first you were looking at adopting it and then started looking around and noticed nearby hospitals opting out. What is your current course for handling this measure? What have you found?
Well, the medical staff and we felt like the, as you pointed out, community had overwhelmingly expressed their views on the subject by approving the measure during that was on the ballot, and by about 85%, in fact. So the general feeling on our part was that we would like to honor the wishes of the community. To your point, what we have discovered, however, are a couple things. And one is that there is a very small likelihood that a patient that has chosen to take the medication and that they would be allowed to take would do so in the hospital setting. In fact, as we looked at the data from Oregon, in 17 years, they've only had one patient die in the hospital associated with their aid in dying legislation. So 99% of the patients will die at home. So the first realization was that this was a very, very small likelihood that our hospital really will be involved. But having said that, in the event that a patient does choose to die in the hospital, we feel like it is absolutely our responsibility to assure that we are prepared and that we provide the experience that the patient and their family would want to have in the unlikely event that that does occur here. And that is really where our realization has been settling in, that there is a lot of work to do. And in particular, what we've observed is that in Oregon, and we expect to be the same in Colorado, 90 to 95% of the patients will be enrolled in hospice, as would be appropriate. They provide the support to patients and their families in the dying process. So we have been working very closely with our local hospice provider, which is Home Care and Hospice of the Valley, and have been having numerous conversations with them. And they, too, are in the process of making sure that they have all the policies and procedures in place for their patients. And so it really is something that we believe they should be taking the lead on. And so our decision, our board's decision at the last meeting was to, in a sense, keep in close contact with them and make sure that we are prepared at such time as, and not until they are prepared. So that is the information that has come to light. And then I would finally add that we also wanted to make sure that we were understanding the thought process of our larger hospital community. So we have been in conversation with the Colorado Hospital Association as well as numerous hospitals on the Western Slope and have found that they likewise are not in a position to opt in, many for the same reasons, many for other reasons where perhaps their communities didn't have as much support or their faith-based organizations or for other reasons. But so far, we actually have not found a hospital opting in. So clearly, we're not alone
Wow.
in this process.
During the meeting, three kind of categories of hesitancy, I would say, came up. The qualifications of the doctor who would be prescribing that end-of-life medication, religious and moral reasons, and the death certificate requirement that is a portion of that law. Can we go through each one of those?
Sure. Yeah, and I should add that the rulemaking process is underway at the state level, too. And these were actually areas of concern that have been identified both by ourselves as well as hospice and other hospitals. So we're hoping that these, or at least those that can be addressed, will be. So the moral and religious isn't one that can be resolved on the whole, except our approach to that, Allison, is that we will absolutely not pressure or require any individual within our organization or among our physicians to participate in the medical aid in dying process if it is in violation of their own beliefs, and that has to be front and center. So that is the manner in which we will address it. Some faith-based organizations believe it is contrary to their mission or their values as an organization, and therefore are opting out. But that is, as a quasi-public organization, that is not the case for us.
Okay.
The second about the qualifications, I think we all believe that as a practical matter, patients will be in the care of a physician that is in the position to be able to make a determination regarding the 6 months or less that the patient is expected to live given their terminal condition, and that they are competent to be making that decision and the other, you know, make sure that they meet the other qualifications. But as a technical matter, the legislation doesn't make that clear. So that, frankly, is something that I think our hospice agency is probably wrestling with more than us, because again, we are not likely to have the patients here, number one, and number two, if they are, they're most likely going to have already been in that process and will hopefully be enrolled in hospice and will be receiving their support. So we and our physicians are less concerned about that, because we think as a practical matter, those physicians will be in a good position to make those judgments, but it could be a problem for our hospice partners.
Mm-hmm. Right now, we're expecting the writing of the law to come out and maybe be more specific, like the doctor has to have so many years of experience or training on end of life.
Yeah, that's essentially what we're looking for. Not necessarily, we want the attending physician to be familiar with the end-of-life process and the medications and what the patient can expect upon taking the medications. Because remember, the patient takes the medications. The physician merely prescribes them.
Okay.
So we would hope that the physician would be, you know, in a position to provide good counsel to the patient about what they can expect. The point about whether or not they are in a position to be able to judge the terminal nature of their condition and the timing of it may take different experience and qualifications.
I see.
So we would expect and believe that patients would make good choices about the physicians that they work with in this process and not rely upon the law. And we don't know that the rules process will encompass that or not, but it is something that's being discussed.
All right. And then I thought the death certificate requirement was really interesting as well.
Yeah, that is probably the area that has garnered the most concern. And that is the, as it currently stands, the legislation requires that the cause of death be indicated on the death certificate as being related to the terminal condition, as opposed to what at that point will be the patient's self-directed administration of the medication.
Yeah.
In other words, suicide. So that's what there are a number of people concerned about. Is how that would have to be represented. Obviously, we all want to have accurate documentation.
It feels unethical or something to just write, to lie on a death certificate.
Yeah, what you've just described is true. We're not necessarily characterizing it as lying and unethical, but we're declaring it. I think the concerns that I've heard are that it is inaccurate.
Right.
And we don't provide, we don't document inaccurately. So it is a concern. And there again, I don't know if or how that can be addressed in the rulemaking process, because it was clearly part of the intent of the act. I'm honestly not sure if that can be fixed.
Right. The only way AVH would be involved is if someone who is choosing to do this said, you know, I feel most comfortable if it is in a hospital setting. Or is there any other way that the hospital would be involved if a patient was going through this process?
The decision that our board will need to make is whether or not the patient will be permitted to take the medication on our premises, in other words, while they're a patient here.
Wow.
We don't intend or don't suggest that in any way we inhibit an individual provider or physician's decision to participate in the process in another setting. So yes, it really is about a patient choosing to undergo the medication-assisted end-of-life process here. And that's where I was pointing out that in 17 years in Oregon, that only occurred one time. So it's a very unlikely event. And there's good reasons for that, and that is most patients want to be home and surrounded by friends and family for this process. And there's practical reasons as well, other practical reasons, which are it doesn't necessarily happen right away. And there has to be a period of at least 15 days between when a patient first expresses their desire to when they can express it again and then move forward with putting it in writing and evoking the process. So patients aren't here that long. So it's also somewhat of a timing, function of timing, that they actually be here at the time.
Right.
Now, we do have hospice patients that are admitted here. They don't necessarily die here. But that are admitted at the hospital. Often it's for palliative care, such as pain control,
okay,
that we can provide that they can't, for whatever reason, receive at home.
Would the hospital have to put in any measures or costs if you do choose to adopt it? What would have to change on the facility?
That is what we need time to fully investigate, which medications would be used, the cost of the medications, what other support would the patient require. All of that is in the process of being investigated. But our primary responsibility is to notify the patient upon admission as to whether or not the hospital participates and will allow it. And that, Allison, is the key decision that our board ultimately has to make. Right now, they've deferred to allow us to make to gather additional information.
Okay.
But the real process starts with notifying the patient of the hospital's willingness to aid them in dying, if that is their choice.
Is there a timeline coming down from the state as to when hospitals or any provider would have to opt in or opt out?
That is a great question that we have been wrestling with all week. The answer is we've heard anywhere from as soon as the first of the year to sometime by the end of the month. So because we don't want to be or put our patients in a position of not having had the board make that decision when the law goes into effect, we are actually going to have a meeting Monday night to decide whether or not the hospital will opt in or out. I believe our recommendation to the board will be that the hospital opt out until such time as we feel like our hospice program and we are ready.
Yeah.
This isn't the kind of, you don't get a second chance with this, with a patient, and it's such a vulnerable time and an important time in their and their family's lives that we want to make sure that if we are going to participate, that we're going to do it right.
And you think there would be an opportunity to then later opt in?
Yeah, oh, there absolutely is.
Okay.
And that is what we think most hospitals are at least considering.
Okay. Then I guess just the flip side of that, because this will probably absolutely never happen at Aspen Valley Hospital and the people voted for it, why not just opt in?
Well, because if we are going to opt in, we want to be sure that we are adequately prepared. And we, regardless of what the experience was in Oregon, this is our community, and our community has been in favor of it. So ultimately, it is our intent to be able to support the community's wishes and opt in, or at least that is what we are recommending. But we just don't want to do that until we're ready. And if we say that we're opting in prematurely, then we're afraid that a patient will get, will be misled upon being admitted here, and we don't want to do that either. So the safest route is to opt out, inform the patients when they are admitted that we are not participating until we're ready, and then if the board so chooses, opt in down the road when we are ready.
Dave, I want to thank you so much for your time for speaking with me about this issue.
My pleasure.